New Horizon has been serving the church in Northern Ireland since 1989, and we're delighted to bring you this talk today. We trust you will be blessed through this ministry.
Thank you so much, Pam. When I left the house, it was sunny, so I wore a t-shirt, and I picked up Tolu, and she was wearing very warm clothes, and I was laughing at her. I said, you're not dressed right, but she's had the last laugh, because now I feel cold, and she's very comfortable, I'm sure. But this is Northern Ireland, which we love so much. And what an exciting time to be part of God's church and part of God's mission. MAP exists to really try and resource and facilitate the church, sharing the good news of Jesus in all its fullness, building up the church, and then seeing the church bless the nations and people of every background. But mission is so different in this era to even a generation or two ago. And one of the ways MAP looks at mission today is through this paradigm, that mission at one time was primarily global mission, mission from Northern Ireland to the world. And what an amazing heritage the church in Northern Ireland has of sending people who went sacrificially, leaving behind home and family and security into the nations. And there are many of our brothers and sisters around the world who will be eternally grateful for the role that the Northern Irish Church played in that. And there are still places where the name of Jesus is not known and there's no witness to him, where we need to consider sending people to. But you may have noticed that when you look around, especially in Belfast, there is increased diversity in the complexion of people. And the nations have come to Northern Ireland and are coming to Northern Ireland like never before. So therefore, when the church considered reaching across cultural barriers or reaching people of other nations, thought primarily about sending people, now we can do that same thing by just crossing the road, by noticing someone in a supermarket, by welcoming a neighbor on our street, by making time for a colleague, because we can reach the nations right here in Northern Ireland. So mission is from Northern Ireland, mission is in Northern Ireland. But also, what about mission to Northern Ireland? God, amongst those he's bringing to make Northern Ireland their home, is bringing brothers and sisters who I believe he's bringing to teach and to bless us. And I was tasked by MAP a couple of years ago to find out who are some of these people that the Lord may be bringing to us to teach us and to bless us. And through that initiative, I made some very good friends, and some people are inspirational to me. And I have the privilege of bringing them, some of them along. So they're the real stars of the show today. Not me, even though my picture got up there. I have to apologize. It should have been these guys. But before we start, I just want us to reflect on an image. I was at a... That's very small, isn't it? I'm afraid. But I was at a conference recently, and we reflected on this image. It was painted by an artist called Brian Gillette, and we were encouraged to reflect on this, and this was his view of the church and what God is doing in our times. We can see it shows the global church, the bride of Christ, beautiful in its scope, beautiful in its diversity, and beautiful and loved in the eyes of Jesus. And our church is full of so many flaws, and yet we have to try and see it through Jesus' eyes, deeply loved, precious, and being prepared for the day that they will meet him face to face and live in his eternal kingdom. And that is the church that we're part of. And brothers and sisters from all over the world are taking the flame of the gospel out and inviting people to join our family, the family of those who are brothers and sisters in Jesus' name. And this church is so beautiful because of its unity in Jesus, its purity, because of the righteousness it has assumed through him, but also because its diversity reflects God's own wonderful creativity and his manifold witness. And how exciting that brothers and sisters like these are here to help our churches to reflect this and to be a vision of the kingdom coming. And this is the time that we're caught up with, and we're now doing mission alongside our brothers and sisters. Mission is everywhere to everywhere. And I'm going to introduce some of these folk. The first folk I'm going to tell you about very briefly are a couple that couldn't be here, and that's partly because while leading a full-time church, they also have full-time jobs. So Danny was probably in Ulster Hospital working as a nurse. These two came to Northern Ireland about 20 years ago. Danny to work as a nurse, Benji to work as a mechanic, just for a better life, but people who love Jesus, and it was just natural for them to share Jesus wherever they were. So they started sharing Jesus in their workplace. Before long, Danny had started a Bible study at lunchtimes in the hospital she worked at. Before long, they had kind of outgrown the room and said, can we meet on Sundays? And they started a church. And that church today meets in Newtonards. That church that was primarily Filipino has now attracted Latin Americans, Africans, and even local people who just love the community there, the warmth there, the vibrancy of their worship. And so this couple, who probably you wouldn't look twice at if you passed them, who are here just working, have actually been brought to our land and have planted a church and have drawn people into community and part of the church. And this is the kind of thing that God's doing in our time, often under the radar, often outside what we see, but God's at work in wonderful ways. He's also bringing people from Brazil. I'm not sure why you would leave Brazil to come to Northern Ireland, but this man did. So I want to welcome Pastor Neto from City Church, and I'm going to ask him a few questions about his experience. Yes. Life in Northern Ireland. So tell us firstly a little bit about your faith journey and what led you to leave sunny Brazil and come to Northern Ireland and make it your home.
To come to sunny Belfast, Northern Ireland. Yeah. Good morning, everyone. It's great to be here. So I also made the mistake to leave home without a coat today, and I'm feeling cold. But that's okay. I hope that the warmth of the Holy Spirit would come upon our lives. So it's great to be here with you all. So I became a follower of Jesus in the year of 2000 when I was 20 years old. My wife, who was someone that I didn't know at that time, led me to Jesus. And we started dating. We became girlfriend and boyfriend. And we got married. And I started to go to church. And I was always very intentional about everything that I decided to do and to embrace. And very early stage, going to church, a new believer, a new follower of Christ, I started to ask God and to pray, God, what do you want me to do with my life? And it was the same year that I was going to university to do journalism. And after a few weeks and months praying and asking God, what's the plan from now on? I had a dream, and during the dream, I found myself going to different places, sharing the good news of Jesus and preaching the gospel and seeing people being touched. And I understood by that dream that God was calling me to be a missionary. And then after that experience, I started to ask God, okay, God, I know that you want me to be a missionary. I know that I can do this in Brazil as well, but that's it. Brazil is the place you want me to stay. And then after a few weeks, a few months, I continued to pray and ask God, where's the place you want me to go? And then God brought to my heart UK, specifically Northern Ireland and Belfast. I had a Brazilian friend who was a missionary here from my same home church. And she invited me to come in the year of 2010. And then I came for the very first time. And then I came to Belfast, and then I prayed, and God confirmed in my heart that Belfast was the place to come and to live and to bring my family from Brazil to be missionaries here. And during these 10 years from 2000 and 2010, praying, learning English, and learning about missions, and trying to follow God's guidance, it was what brought me to be a missionary with my family.
We're so glad you were an obedient and came here and are with us today. Now you're the pastor of City Church in the center of Belfast, which I know is a very multicultural, intercultural church. Can you share with us some of the blessings of and challenges of leading such a diverse church?
Yeah, there are lots of challenges. I suppose one of the biggest challenges is, the culture within the church, especially for me, like being a Brazilian coming from a specific culture and come to a church with a different culture as well. For example, our services back in Brazil, they last 3 hours. And then when I came to Belfast, and then the service lasts 1 hour, and people do things differently. And I needed to understand that wasn't about right or wrong, you know, it was about being different. I needed to understand that unity wasn't and isn't about uniformity. We don't need to be exactly the same. We are different people, we think differently, and we may disagree sometimes, but we all are united and were and are united with the same purpose, you know, to have the heart for Jesus, to have the heart to reach out to people. And that's, and it's okay to do things differently and to be different. I would say that the culture within the church and the way that church did a few things were different. And then you kind of have to adjust yourself to that and to submit and to tell yourself that you are here to serve, to learn, but also to contribute and to try to navigate through those differences. Communication, obviously, is a big challenge as well. When I came to Belfast, I thought that I could speak English, understand English well. And then I realized that after a few weeks that wasn't the case. I needed to adjust and to tune my ears to the language as well. And also to try to understand the local culture and, you know, and to really grasp the idea that even though I am Brazilian and I came to a different nation, but we are called to be citizens of heaven. You know, and to live for the kingdom and to have Jesus as our king and just to embrace that. I think that was a big challenge to put aside my nationality and to tell myself I'm called to be a citizen of a superior nation and to follow, you know, his guidance and his lordship in my life. In terms of excitement and encouragement, I would say that the community in church has been a big blessing for me. I couldn't do what I did and do what I'm doing if it wasn't for the church community. They really welcomed me so well. They really, you know, they just became my family. And now when people say, when are you going back home? I say to them, I am home. This is my home. This is my, you know, the nation that God has put in my heart. And also, like, we've seen so many encouragements and blessings and confirmations, you know, all the time God saying, you're in the right place, you are doing the right thing. You know, provisions in so many areas and ways financially. When I came, because of visa, I couldn't work. I came as a missionary, as a voluntary missionary, and I didn't have a regular income. But month after month, God was providing and, you know, opening the doors. I can spend the whole day telling stories. But the main thing for me is to see the Holy Spirit really touching people's lives, people coming to faith, people being transformed, and to know that the same God who was operating back in Brazil, he's here and he's moving and he's doing and he will continue to do great things for his glory, you know, and he count on us to do that. I remember one day I was at home and I always have a big heart to see people becoming followers of Jesus, and I was crying out on my knees saying, God, when is going to be the first time and experience that when I will see someone coming to know you, Jesus? And then I just had this experience, I don't know even how to explain, a vision, I don't know, I just saw myself in a specific road sharing the good news to a specific guy. And when that experience finished, Jesus said to me, go to that place right now, because there is someone waiting to hear a message right now. It was 12 noon, and I told my wife, don't wait me for lunch. I'm going out. There is someone at this place. And I started to walk near my house, and then I started to ask the Holy Spirit, please guide me, move, do whatever I want to do. And then I saw the guy that I saw in the vision a few minutes before, and I approached him. And then as soon as I introduced myself, that guy that I never met before, he was just there standing. He started to have goosebumps and he asked, what's going on here? What's this? What presence is that? And the Holy Spirit just came and that guy, you know, opened his heart to Jesus. He started to go to church. For me, this is the reward, is to see people. And we've seen others getting to know the Lord. And it's very humbling to understand that it's not to do with my nationality. It's not to do of how good I am. It has to do with how much God loves people and wants to touch their heart. And we've seen people, you know, coming to know the Lord. We started a Brazilian church. Everyone is welcome. And grew from 5 people. Now it's 50, 60 people coming to gather on Saturdays. And people come on Sundays as well in City Church. And we have students coming and people in our local community, refugees, asylum seekers, a very diverse church. And God is moving everywhere and every people. And that's a massive blessing for us.
Thank you, brother. Thank you so much. It's such an encouragement to hear through your eyes, glimpse what God's doing around us. And I think your heart and your passion to be used by God to share his love with people, that's a huge challenge to me. May we all have that to be used by him as you've shared. My next guest is Tolu. Come ahead.
Hello. Good afternoon, actually. Good afternoon. It's 12 o'clock.
I only recently realized that you lived actually in Coleraine for many years. So maybe you should be welcoming me.
Welcome. So
welcome back to Coleraine.
Thank you so much.
But you came to Coleraine from Nigeria. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about what that was like. Some of the blessings and challenges of moving from Nigeria and making Coleraine your home.
Incredible. I will be reading from my phone, so I do apologize. I will be looking down a lot. So my family and I, we moved from Nigeria about 12 years ago. We moved to Coleraine. So I've grown up in Coleraine. I grew up in Port Sturt, went to Port Sturt Primary School, and then went to Loretta College, if you know. So whilst growing up, I'd say, especially in my younger days, at the initial stages of moving to Northern Ireland, for myself, I didn't fully understand the gravity of the changes that were in terms of moving from Nigeria, changing cultures, moving from home and then coming to Northern Ireland, which was so vastly different from what I was used to. I'd say back then, what was for me was the thrill of flying on an airplane for the very first time or seeing people from other races here with me. Honestly, I'd say that it was just a blend of the excitement and confusion, fascination of coming to a completely different nation. As time progressed, however, I think the understanding of just the depth to which things had changed kind of took its toll on me. For example, knowing that my family, my friends who were closest to me were not so anymore. Pardon me, and also like the essence of my now home, in essence, was a place that was so far from my true home. However, through my time spent here in the UK, I can honestly say that it's been by the grace of God that myself and my family have been sustained here in Northern Ireland. The blessing of people and community has been what has helped us. God has really proved himself to be Jehovah Jireh. God has really proved himself to be Jehovah Nisi. He has helped us and provided for us in so many ways. I'd say some of the challenges that have been faced over my time here has been the challenges of culture, the challenges of the differences in food, the challenges of the differences in language that was spoken as well. So that would be challenges and some of the blessings, I hope, that God has given me through my time here.
Thank you. And now you're a student at Queen's University.
Yes.
And God's been using you there with ministry with international students. Can you share a bit about that? And maybe one or two things that God has been revealing to you over the last year or so as you followed and served him.
Of course. So this past year, the Lord has blessed me with the opportunity to serve in leadership at QUB's international small group. The name of our small group is Heritage United. So Heritage United is a student-led ministry ignited with a vision to see Christ magnified in the city of Belfast. So we are an intercultural community of believers with a mission to serve and to walk with students on the on campuses. Over the past year, we have met in fellowship with one another. Honestly, our hope through these gatherings and through these meetings would be that we would become people of active pursuit for the kingdom of God, postured fervently before the word in our times of prayer, but also in the times of worship that we've had. In navigating through the leadership that the Lord has blessed me with, I think three things that the Lord placed on my heart as I served in leadership was firstly that through our small group, through the people that we meet, that we would be awakened and that there would be an awakening in the lives of our students here in Belfast. That not only would students hear the word of God, but they would be awakened by it and be revived by the power and the truth of the gospel of Jesus. Secondly, it's been a prayer of my heart that whether it be international students or maybe home students, that we would all be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not enough for us to just come and gather together without the Holy Spirit. It's only by the power of the Holy Spirit that the word becomes true, that the word becomes life in the life of those around. So the prayer through that is that the Lord would raise up earthing vessels who are not just there to receive the word, but also ready to be used, who are also ready to be used and ready to be obedient to the word of the Lord, who are ever more hungry and radically obedient to work in the will and the power of the Lord through his word. And then finally, my prayer and the last vision that the Lord placed in my heart would be that our lives would be one of active pursuit for the kingdom, that we would be a people who are activated to follow Jesus wholeheartedly. And I'd say over the past year, God has been faithful to fulfill this word. God has been faithful to fulfill his promises in the lives of the students that have gathered. I have been encouraged as much as I have given. The Lord has encouraged me so much over the past couple of years. And honestly, my hope and a point of prayer that I would love, like, each one of you to pray for students here in Ulster, but also students in Belfast, is that students would not only know the power of Christ, but that they would know the person of Jesus Christ. Because that is the only thing that can change our hearts. So, yeah. Pardon me, that was quite a ramble, but I hope it helped.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Yeah, it's wonderful to see your love for the Lord, your passion, your enthusiasm, and the gift he's given you to communicate. And we're so excited to see how God's going to use that going forward. My next friend is Jess, and Jess is originally from Hong Kong. Could you tell us a little bit about your background and your journey that brought you to Northern Ireland? And we know that many others from Hong Kong have also made Northern Ireland their home recently. So tell us a bit about how that's come about.
So I arrived in Northern Ireland in early 2021. So I'm new here, just 2 years. And I came through here a new visa route named the BNO visa route. It's a new visa route open for the Hong Kong people who was born before 1997. As you might know, that Hong Kong was part of a colony of UK. And the reason why that is this new visa route is the UK government in response to the political changing in Hong Kong. In the summer of 2021, there is a new legislation passed in Hong Kong named the National Security Law. Basically, if you badmouth the government, you will be put in jail. And it is literally happening in Hong Kong at the moment. Newspaper companies are shutting down. And if you are against the government, the editors are now in jail for over a year now without proper jurisdiction treatment. So I would say things are changing in Hong Kong. But all along in my life, I was thinking Hong Kong is, so economically well developed and seems to be so secure, but just a flip, it's all gone. And I have two kids, one teenage boy, and I was thinking, I can't imagine to raise my kids in such environment. So when this reservoir once it is available, then we came to Northern Ireland. And in just 2 years' time, since 2021, to by the end of 2022, in 2 years' time, there is 150,000 applications. But of course, not 150,000 Hong Kong people are coming to Northern Ireland. I would guess there are roughly 3,000 people now settling across Northern Ireland.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. And so 3,000, that's quite big for such a small place. So these are the new Northern Irish from Hong Kong who are making Northern Ireland their home. Mm-hmm. How can churches bless and welcome them?
Yeah, we are so grateful that some of the churches, and thanks to Nathaniel, help us to line up, and some churches run welcome courses for the Hong Kong people. The material is developed by Welcome Churches and a UK-wide organization that helps asylum seeker, refugee, and also new immigrants. The welcome courses consist of 6 sections, and it covers like cultural, leisure activities, local food, or even emotional support, so that with the short videos and also the discussions questions, Hong Kong people could know more about the local culture and some slang sometimes. I remember you teach us the slang. And it helps us to understand culture and also improve our language as well. Yet most importantly, I would say Hong Kongers can build up a relationship with the volunteers involved. And the participant truly feels welcome by the local communities. Some of the church, they didn't stop after 6 sections, but they organized different types of events as well, like intercultural nights with Irish dancing, and some are doing picnics with families, and even help them to prepare a test that new immigrants need to go through if they plan to stay in Northern Ireland in the long run. I know families that never been to church before in Hong Kong, they felt so grateful for what the church and volunteers have done for them. I know families that now regularly attending Sunday service after the welcome courses. And I know families that develop close relationships with the volunteers involved. I would say churches could be very welcoming to people just uproot their family and move to a new places. It's a very difficult process. Trust me, I've been there. Churches could do a lot to help. And your participation would be much appreciated and could make a huge difference to the family involved.
Thank you so much, Jess. And I think the Lord really brought you to Northern Ireland at a time such as this for his purposes. Jess has been a real bridge between local community and churches and the Hong Kong community. And we've had some great times working together, the church and the Hong Kong community. And if your church would be interested in advertising and running a welcome course, then talk to Jess or talk to me or talk to Chris. He's from OMF. And we would love to talk about how you might be able to do that. My final guest is my good friend, Johan. And Johan, you are from South Africa. You're also part of a huge church network, which actually originated in Africa, I think in Cape Town.
Yeah, part of it in North America.
Okay. And Cape Town. So tell us a little bit about Every Nation Church as a network, and also the branch in Belfast that you're the pastor of.
Hi, everybody. It's so great to be here. I'm part of a global family called Every Nation. We are now, by God's grace, in 85 nations globally. We just have a heart. We exist to love God, love people, and to establish Christ-centered, spirit-empowered, and socially responsible churches in every nation. And so I'm part of a network, as I said, called Every Nation. So in 2001, God spoke to me and during a worship service, and I saw a flag of Ireland. And that was that moment God said, there was a call, will you move to Dublin, Ireland? And at that moment, about 5 minutes later, there's a guy that got up and he said, I believe God just spoke to somebody here about going to Ireland in Dublin. And obviously I was quite surprised and how God spoke and confirmed that calling. And so in 2001, I moved to Dublin, and that was the start of our church plant there, reaching out to the campus students, reaching the next generation. And then in 2013, God spoke to us about moving to Belfast, Northern Ireland. And so, and I remember he spoke to us so clearly. He said, I'm not calling you to Belfast, Northern Ireland as a Catholic or a Protestant, but as a minister of reconciliation. And so we knew that Belfast, Northern Ireland, as a politically polarized, religiously polarized city with a lot of walls. But he called us as bridge builders. I don't have history in Belfast or in Northern Ireland, nor did my parents. My parents are actually here from South Africa visiting. And so it was just wonderful that we could play a part to establish a church that are Christ-centered, but also be a place of common ground and to see people come from different divides to a Sunday service. And so, but yeah, we believe that Northern Ireland and Ireland is very significant for God and His global plan. How many of you know God has got a global plan, a global mission? And so, and we really are called as well to play a part to unlock the Northern Irish destiny for church planting and world missions. Because as we look at Irish history over the centuries, how many missionaries went from this nation to evangelize Europe, to plant Christ-centered churches all around the world. And so we're just so grateful to be part of that great commission.
Wonderful, wonderful. You told me a story about when you were in an Every Nation church in Cape Town, and Nelson Mandela walked in.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yes.
Can you share that with us again today?
Yes. In 1994, just after our new president, Nelson Mandela, the late Nelson Mandela, became president, there was a lot of suspicion in South Africa at the time. And so we had a service in Cape Town. And some of my friends were there. I was not actually there at that meeting, but a lot of close friends were there at the time. But Nelson Mandela was visiting, had a conference close by, and he walked past the service, and he heard a lot of noise coming from that room, and he walked into the service, and he said, can I address this crowd? And so he walked to my friend, and he said, could I say a few words? And there was a gathering. It was a few thousand there at the time, very diverse people from different tribes and nations. And he was just looking at the crowd, and he just said, this is the dream I have for the new South Africa, that we can see black and white, different nationalities, ethnicities come together in one place. That is the dream for the future. And so we were obviously inspired by that as a movement, and really wanted to see God establishing Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered churches, but also diverse churches. Different ethnicities. And so that was quite an inspirational moment, you know, to hear that from our late president. And so, yeah, that's the dream.
Amazing. And finally, your church in Belfast, I know, is very multicultural. Mm-hmm. So you've managed to bring people across barriers to worship Jesus together.
Yeah.
But I also believe you've got people there from across the sectarian divide as well.
Yes.
Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, we've got quite a few there, and it's just wonderful. Like I said, we meet in the Unity Chapel and Methodist College, and so we see people, Catholics come in the morning service, and so and we've had this one moment earlier this year where two individuals from different side of the wall, Andy being a Protestant and John is a Catholic. And so they met each other at our service. So usually when you don't know where they're from or, you know, the other person, you say, what part of town are you from? So Andy said, hey, I'm from the Shank Hill. And so John said, I'm from the Falls Road. And there's like, and they're about similar age. And And so it was just wonderful that they, when they had this conversation, I was just kind of leaning in. Because, you know, as church planters, sometimes we have a moment, you know, where, you know, we hear the voice of the enemy saying, did God really say? You know? And so that was the moment where I could hear this conversation. And then John said to Andy, he said, well, hey, we might have been enemies way back then, but look at what God has done. We've now become brothers in Christ. And so this is the reconciliation that we see taking place in our church. And they've now become best friends, because not too long ago, about 3 months ago, we sent a mission team out to Ukraine to be part of, you know, we're planting a new church there. We've got 8 congregations there, every nation churches in the Ukraine. And so they went on the mission, and there was a lot of banter there. But they've become best friends. They're united in Christ. So we just love what God is doing and bringing people together in one place.
Thank you, Johan. Thank you so much. And one way, Johan, you have inspired and blessed me is Johan is just such a kingdom-minded person. It's never about building his own church, his own organization. He always models partnership and what we can do together, which can bring glory to God. So thank you for always being an example and a challenge in that area, because I think it's there that God ordains his blessing when brothers live together and serve together in peace in his name. Amazingly, each of you were so concise in what you said. We have extra time. I didn't, when I said you only had 3 minutes, I didn't mean it. I thought I was just trying to... So what do I do now? No. Yeah. But it means if any of you has a question or would like to find a little bit more out about anything that any of our guests have mentioned, please take the opportunity now. And someone maybe can pass this mic around. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't give you any warning. So don't feel you have to.
Oh. Actually, the question is probably more for you. The organization map, yeah. Do you have offices in the south of Ireland at all? Or where are you situated? And the reason why I'm asking is because there's a group of us here from Cork, County Cork, and actually within our church service on a Sunday morning, we could have maybe... 8 or 9 nationalities. We also have refugees coming into the town that we're in. So it's really, you know, is there some, can we get some understanding of like what we would do to get into that community of refugees more so than what we're doing?
Yeah. MAP's jurisdiction is Northern Ireland, but I'm sure they're very happy to serve the church across the whole island. Actually, there's another organization called IMAP, Irish Mission Action Partnership, which plays a similar role. But also, what I haven't mentioned, as I've been speaking and getting to know some of these brothers and sisters who the Lord has brought to Northern Ireland and has given ministries and leadership positions, actually, with the encouragement of MAP, we've formed something called the Northern Ireland Intercultural Church Leaders Group. And we very much want to get alongside intercultural churches, multicultural churches, newcomers to this island to help them on this journey of what it looks like to be intercultural churches. So we'd be delighted to talk to you, as I'm sure Matt would. Do you want to add anything?
Yeah, just to say, well, Nathaniel's going to be highlighting an event that we're running at the end of September. It's a training day for churches. It's called Equipped to Welcome, and it's going to be a day where churches can learn a little bit more about how to welcome those that are seeking refuge and asylum in Northern Ireland. The focus is Northern Ireland, and we're partnering with Welcome Churches, which at the moment, I believe, are just UK-based. But it's a really good question to ask about the rest of the island of Ireland, and we're very aware. It's been Well, it's outside Belfast, yes, yes. So currently MAP is part of Global Connections, which is a UK-based charity organisation. So we have related with IMAP in the past, but I haven't currently been in contact. But I know that Nathaniel has been to recent IMAP meetings, so I don't know if they are doing anything sort of in terms of that.
Well,
at the moment.
Very much exist to serve the Church in the Republic of Ireland. So certainly with that hat on, we would be delighted to see how we can serve you in this area. And certainly people like Welcome Churches, you know, their resources can be accessed from anywhere by anyone. So there's lots of things out there.
We do have an information flyer for the event.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Was there another question over here?
So I come from Rathfrey Island, and we currently have a hotel in Rathfrey Island which houses people who are refugees through the local council. It's very hard for us to know, because they only stay for 3 weeks, what can we practically do to help? So I suppose that's my question to you folks there, the panel you have there. Is there anything which you can think of which people would need immediately, or something that we could offer them?
While these guys think of their answer, you should come to the seminar tomorrow, Welcome Churches, because that's they're going to be talking all about how to engage with and serve asylum seekers and refugees. I think Neto, do you want to say something?
Yeah, just very briefly. In our church, we are surrounded by some hotels, and they are all homes now for asylum seekers and refugees. And we started to ask the same question: what can we do to help and to connect? So we are providing some services, English classes, community meals. We welcome them to our play group as well, with moms and toddlers, as a way to offer a practical help, but also to connect, to build a relationship, and to see where the Lord guides from there. So I would say, as a icebreaker, as a way to connect, is provide services that they would really need. And I would say that English classes is probably one of the things that could be done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And I think Welcome Churches has communications with most of the hotels. So if your church wants to offer something, they could be very helpful in getting that message into the hotels and getting it advertised with those who might benefit from it. Any other questions? You have a song, Johan? Yes, one over here. Yeah.
Thank you. Just a question about when you were talking, some of you, about intercultural churches. We have some folks come into church now from lots of different countries, and you said language is a barrier, and how to... Just if you had any advice of how to make church more welcoming, really practical things of how to include these folks in our services or in our community. Just any wisdom or advice you might have.
Yeah, as they come in, you know, they want to become more culturally relevant. I think just to spend time with them, be intentional, listen to them, and get into their world, into their culture. It's amazing. Just going on, building that bridge, that relational bridge of trust. Really, they've got so much to give, but it's also understanding their culture and how you can merge. I mean, there's so much to offer. It's just get to know them, listen. And yeah, invite them into the home. We really want to be intentional about that. It's not just a hi on Sunday, but invite them for a meal. You know, if there's Easter or there's Christmas, or, you know, it is a great opportunity really to make them feel welcome. And I know Northern Ireland has done such an amazing job. I mean, I just hear a lot of them coming in, and they absolutely just appreciate the hospitality. So yeah.
Thanks, Johan. There are things like translation software that some people use. I know in one of the churches I used to go to, they could download software where people could actually somehow through technology that the phone would translate into their script whatever the person was saying. There's a resource where you can get songs. There's an organization called Songs to Serve, and they will have many songs in different languages. You can get the PowerPoint so they can kind of see what people are singing. It's great to get Bibles in their languages also in, and why not have the bravery to actually ask one of them to maybe read a passage in their own language. That can be so enriching for the whole church and also so honoring to them. I know a church recently did that, someone said, why don't you all stand up and actually open the Bible in your own language on your phone and let's all read it together. And they said that was such a powerful moment. And a couple of the New Northern Irish, who had been coming to that church for several years, said, I've been waiting for years for someone to allow me to read the word in my own language in this church. And it kind of was a breakthrough. So it can be little things like that, which can really bless them, but enrich us all. But it isn't easy. It's things we have to navigate. But it is, what blesses God's heart and blesses us as our churches become more diverse. Nato.
Yeah, and sometimes as well as the big things that we can think of, like really simple small things can make such a big difference. Even like if in City Church we have probably around 20 nationalities represented. And even like you learn how to say good morning in their language, and as they come through the door and you say in their language, sometimes I'm leading the service and I can communicate in three languages. And then I just say good morning in the languages that I know. And it's something really small, but it's like about us acknowledging that they are there, that they're loved, and that we see them as God sees as well. Even like simple things like that makes a huge difference as well.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks. Anyone else? Well, just a few closing comments, and then we'll pray. I just think it's so exciting to be part of this wonderful coming kingdom. And when we think of the uncertain world we live in, the fragile world we live in, and yet we know the King who created it and who sustained it, and we know that each one of us has an invitation to the banquet at the end of time when we'll all be together to celebrate and to worship him. And therefore, we each know personally that the future is with Jesus. So let's cling to Jesus. However we feel today, let's cling to Jesus, because the glorious future, the victorious future, the certainty and uncertainty lies with him. But more than this, this kingdom in this warring world, this hate-filled world, in this kingdom, the King is bringing together people from every language, every country, every background, every culture to live in peace with each other in the midst of this, to love each other, to encourage each other, to comfort each other, to bless each other, to minister to each other, just as we've been ministered today by our brothers and sisters from different parts of the world, and how much poorer we would be if you weren't here. So we are so blessed. And it's a kingdom where the stranger and the weak in the world's eyes are to be embraced and honored. And they are the ones who will often be used by the Lord to teach and reveal himself to the so-called strong. So mission today, it's not just about giving. It's not just about serving. It's having the humility to receive. It's having the humility to listen. It's having the humility to receive. And some of us find that harder than the giving. Are we willing to be friends? Friends where we make ourselves vulnerable. Friends where we open ourselves up and we ask for help as well as giving help. Because when someone does that with you, then you consider it a real friendship. People don't want to be objects of charity. People don't want to be seen as something that makes other people feel good about themselves. Often people do need charity, they do need help, but ultimately we all want friendship, and we feel valued when we can give and teach and minister as well as receiving the blessings from our friends. And I think when our churches look like this, like the kingdom that is coming, what rich and blessed places they are to be. That is the bride of Christ in its beauty. And also, what a tangible witness to the real supernatural power of the cross in being able to break down every barrier and redeem and reconcile every broken person and every broken part of this world. When in a warring, broken, divided world, people see a place where people out there would be against each other, are together in loving community, surely they're going to ask a question, you know, what is it that draws them together? How is this possible? There must be something at work here which we can't explain, something better than we're finding in the world, because the world is trying to find every possible way to bring harmony and unity and new ideologies, new philosophies, but it's not working. And if the church can be that place, then we will see, like Nelson Mandela saw, he observed something that actually challenged him, said, you've got something here which is powerful and which is beautiful and which is real. And just I want to close by saying a prayer for us all and for the church here. I really think that this is the coming kingdom. When the kingdom comes all its fullness, we see the thing and the will of God being done in its perfection. We see what most pleases God's heart. We see what brings him the most glory. And that is when people of every tribe, every nation, every tongue are gathered together before his throne. So if that is what pleases Jesus' heart, is that what brings him the most honor, why would we not be striving for that here and now? Why would we be just waiting for heaven? And why would we not be trying to be that as people and as churches? So let's spend some time reflecting and asking the Lord to make us those people. Jesus, you taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we long for that day when your kingdom comes in all its fullness and you wipe away all our sin and all our brokenness, but you also dissolve the hatred and the pain and the war and just the terrible things that people inflict on each other. But we know, Lord, that your kingdom is breaking through today and we can be part of it and we are to be part of it. So I pray that you will help us to be those who embody the kingdom, and our churches will be places where people can see and taste the kingdom and can glimpse the kingdom that is coming. May we see and hear and honor those the Lord has already brought into our churches who we may be overlooking. May we go out to the people around us who the Lord has brought into our towns and cities to welcome them in Jesus' name and invite them into our lives and church families. They need us and we need them. May we embrace and listen to the brothers and sisters in Christ the Lord has brought and is bringing to this wee country, the new Northern Irish, sent to encourage, strengthen, and reveal the fullness of his kingdom, of your kingdom, and the fullness of your grace to your church here. And I thank you for Neto, I thank you for Johan, I thank you for Jess, I thank you for Tolu, our brothers and sisters. I thank you for what you've done in their lives. I thank you what you're doing through them. And I pray that you'll continue to make them ministers of reconciliation. You'll continue to make them peacemakers. You'll continue to make them people who draw people to you, the Prince of Peace. And may you bless them. May they know your favor. And as you fill them up with your spirit, may just they overflow and declare your goodness to those around them. And pray that each of us will be filled with your spirit and go out from here proclaiming your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you.
Oh, yes.
Thank you. One more thing. This event, which has been mentioned, it's really about equipping the church to welcome those who the Lord is bringing to Northern Ireland, but also going on that journey and thinking, what does it mean to be an intercultural church? So I'd really encourage you to think about coming and also to let others know who might benefit it. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this talk. If you would like to know more about New Horizon, please visit our website at newhorizon.org.uk.